Before I get started, I would like to thank everyone for being here today, and I also like to thank the American Public Health Association for the opportunity to present an exciting project that the FDA has underway, and that is modifying the behavior of food employees using training materials and methods designed for oral culture projects. First of all, I also want to thank the FDA Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition for funding this project, along with DHRD, that's an acronym, stands for Department of Human Development, Regional Development, and Office of Regulatory Affairs within the FDA. The co-sponsor of this project is Alan Tart. He's a training officer within the FDA DHRD office. At the time this project began, however, he was a retail food specialist, so he's been promoted since then. And again, I'd like to thank our stakeholders as well who helped us develop this project and all of the participants and stakeholders again. So the project, as I said, was funded by the Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. And the purpose of the project, of course, is to improve the effectiveness of training related to the control of foodborne illness risk factors by developing educational materials and exploring methods more appropriate for oral culture learners. And a goal, of course, for the Food and Drug Administration is to prevent foodborne illness outbreaks. And of course, I have no relationships to disclose. We all have to do that. So after this presentation, you will be able to contrast oral culture from print culture learning principles, describe FDA's oral culture project, and apply oral culture learner principles to make training more effective. The FDA used much of Dr. Donald Beagle's research in developing this program. Donald Beagle is the president and CEO of Communications Across Barriers. In Dr. Beagle's 2004 Environmental Health Specialist Communication Studies, she interviewed food employees, retail food establishment managers, and state and local retail food regulators. The data gathered in these focus groups suggest striking differences in the way these groups receive and assimilate information. Dr. Beagle's research suggests that food employees are predominantly oral culture learners, whereas regulators and probably most industry quality assurance personnel are predominantly print culture learners. For oral culture learners, real-life examples and stories get their attention and help them learn. They focus on the big picture rather than the gory details. They are comfortable focusing on multiple concepts at a time, but they are not as abstractive in their thinking as print culture learners. In contrast, print culture learners are motivated by facts. They focus on the gory details and like to have concepts presented to them one concept at a time in a logical step-by-step way. They are able to think abstractly, so you may still be successful with print culture learners if you train them in an unfamiliar setting, because they are able to think about how the information you are relaying to them should be applied in their jobs. Oral culture learners, however, would be more receptive in training if held in a similar setting like the place they work. To print culture learners, having a trusting relationship with the person relaying the information is less important than the facts backing up the concept. So let me ask you, if a doctor diagnosed you with a rare fatal disease that you had never heard of, how would you most likely seek out more information about the disease? So raise your hand if your first impulse would be to seek out information on the internet. Okay. books, or journals. Now raise your hands if your first impulse would be to ask a friend of a friend who had a cousin who had the disease. Yeah. Well, as expected, the fact that you are participating in this public health conference means you are probably more of a print culture learner. We all have both oral and print culture characteristics, but the more educated we are, especially in Western schools, the more print culture we become. Western education systems encourage print culture learning. I remember at the research papers you had to do in school, most of those were print. So interestingly enough, most food safety materials today are developed by and for print culture learners. Dr. Beagle's research showed that most food safety information today is presented in print or verbally in unfamiliar abstract language. The information is generally presented by someone of power, like a health inspector, or by someone who, from the food employee's perspective, does not understand what it is like to work in a food service establishment. Oftentimes, good food safety behavior is not modeled by the owner, the manager, or chef, and these individuals fail to make food safety a priority in the restaurant environment. So food safety materials are usually very specific, focused on the regulatory requirements, are written in regulatory or scientific languages, and usually focuses on the how to do the proper procedure or practice versus the why. If the material does include information on why, it is usually too technical or doesn't do a good enough job of communicating the real consequences for not following the procedure. Saying wash your hands for good health or to prevent illness is probably not going to motivate an employee to change their behavior if they grew up in schools or homes where hand washing was not stressed as an important measure to reduce illness. In many schools, for instance, hand soap and paper towels are not even provided in the bathroom. Examples of common materials and methods in use today include classroom or computer type training that is provided by people of power, such as health inspectors or agents of the health department, in an unfamiliar setting using PowerPoint. Written manuals, pamphlets, posters that describe how to do something, but not why. So this is a typical food safety poster in use today. This poster was developed by the Puerto Rican Department of Health. This poster is very good at describing how and when to wash hands. It uses pictures to describe the procedure, which is very good. It does not explain the reason why hand washing is important in a way that is compelling to food employees. Recommendations from Dr. Beagle's study include using stories and sayings with vivid examples, like outbreaks, to allow food employees to feel the impact of a behavior, stressing to managers, chefs, and food employees the importance of being good role models to show and model appropriate behavior in supportive ways. Dr. Beagle recommended, whenever possible, having the food safety information be provided by people with whom the food employee have a relationship, or at least having a training format that minimizes the power dynamic between the trainer and the employees. And we'll discuss that a little later. So FDA did this in this project. Dr. Beagle also suggests using familiar words and examples the food employee can relate to. Dr. Beagle recommended that you provide information verbally or visually and provide it often and repeat it regularly. She said that you should allow for two-way communication, show respect by using eye contact when speaking with food employees, and keep in mind that in some cultures, however, like Asia, cultures, for example, uses direct eye contact can actually increase the power dynamic between the trainer and the food employees. She also said that food employees also reported that they like simple worker sign and posters as reminders. You may want to change out the posters or signs frequently to keep the message new and fresh. In the materials and in the training, focus on the big picture, not the gory details. Get them to understand the reason why the behavior is practiced before teaching them how. Again, show respect for food employees and let them know you value them as equal professionals by allowing for two-way communication. Demonstrate concepts and have food employees demonstrate the concept back to you. A major barrier and arguably the most significant to reducing the occurrence of foodborne illness risk factor is the difficulty of the regulator and industry operator to modify the behavior of food employees. The FDA National Retail Food Team, in cooperation with the Food and Drug Administration Public Affairs Specialist, are currently involved in this project to design the materials that are best suited for oral culture learners, which, as I said before, research has shown most food employees to be. This project, again, began in 2008 and continues today. The project was funded, again, during the FDA's May 2010 national satellite broadcast on employee health and hygiene. It was featured. The next slide will discuss the project in detail. So the purpose of the project is to develop training materials and materials relating to the five foodborne illness risk factors that incorporate oral culture learning principles. So in 2008, the project team developed materials to address employees' health, hand washing, and no bare hand contact with ready-to-eat food. In 2009-2010, the group tackled cross-contamination, hot holding, and cooling. And this year, we're addressing cold holding, proper cooling, approved sources, and chemical hazard. It is our intent to develop materials that enhance existing training and not necessarily replace what already exists. As we discuss in the next few slides, and as we've already been pointed out, most materials in use today are good at explaining how to carry out proper food safety practices. The materials developed in this project are designed to communicate the reasons why carrying out those practices is important in terms of life and function for those affected by foodborne illness and the loss of income, and in some cases, jobs, businesses of the employees, and establishment that causes the outbreak. These are some members of the National Retail Food Group that you can see here, also known as the Oral Culture Team. They consist, again, of the Retail Food Specialist, FDA Public Affairs Specialist, and CISN Retail nationally. And the work group operates under the auspices of the FDA's National Retail Team Steering Committee. And I'm going to speed it up a little bit. Over the last few years, we have been fortunate to work with, and I've mentioned Donald Vega. Eddie Gomez is a contractor that we hired to help us develop the training and also to provide the consultation that we needed. And she's a Spanish-speaking person, and she was able to deliver workshops throughout the Atlanta area. And of course, Dr. Laura Green is from the Center for Disease Control, and she also provided and research information for the team. And here, the methods. In the past 3 years, the developments have provided funding. We stated that before. And the first thing the group did after receiving the research was to develop and list characteristics of training tools and methods that incorporated oral culture learning practices. I'm going to have to speed up here. No, we developed the storyboards, the cause and effect posters, videos, audio testimonials. And the group also developed simple messages. Okay, I think I kind of went through it. This is one of the training that you can see here that we did. All of these workshops here were held in Atlanta, as I mentioned earlier. And Eddie Gomez is there as a training instructor, and you can see her. I'm going to flip through these pretty fast. These are some of the materials here. This is one example of it. We have the materials in 9 languages as listed here. And again, the workshop format, encourage interactive interactions, minimize the power dynamic that we stressed earlier as well. And the materials reinforces the concept that we taught in the workshops. Again, stressing why it's important and the challenges to food employees. This is where you can find information, www.fda food employees training on these materials. I'm going to kind of cut it short here because I know we're pretty much out of time. If you all have any questions, let me know. Also, I wanted to say that if you're interested in joining in partnership with us on this, you can certainly let me know. I can get your card. We have retail food specials all over the country, as you can imagine. And I'm really excited that I've already been asked today by our moderator if she can join us with this. And, of course, we want her to. And we encourage you all as well because, again, the goal of FDA is to help decrease foodborne illness risk factors. Thank you. At this point, we are working with CDC, with Dr. Green that I mentioned earlier, and this is a work in progress, and it is ongoing, so we are open to developing it even more. And I think I mentioned in the presentation earlier, we're going to be developing the effectiveness of the study as well. So we're looking forward to that, and still saying it's going to be helping us with that, Center for Food Safety and Applied Nutrition. But yes, we always look for opportunities to work with other federal agencies. In fact, we look forward to working with all of our partners, academia, industry, as well. So again, if any of you all are interested in joining forces with us, we have over 60 stakeholders. I said 50 in the slide, but it has actually increased. And we have meetings with them, and we are really excited about it because this is a non-threatening training environment, not regulatory, but one that is a win-win for everyone. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're doing. That's what I was saying. We're doing that, yes. But follow us. Visit our website. And also, CIFSAN is here at the conference. And we have some of the personal hygiene materials at the desk there. So if you all have an opportunity, I know it's the last day, but if you have an opportunity to. But even so, if you don't do that, if you give me your card, I'll be happy to mail you what we do have. And again, you can access it on the FDA website. So we're very excited about this. Because again, it's industry, government, academia, all working together. Thank you.